Well, if you ask Irish fans, first thing that comes to mind when Notre Dame played South Florida in 2011, probably lightning might be the one word that comes up. The other word that comes up is probably a swear word, because, man, that was a frustrating day for the Irish as they lost to the Bulls in a game that was delayed twice by some pretty good thunderstorms that rolled through South Bend. We're now, of course, into 2020, brand new era for South Florida football with Jeff Scott taking over as the head coach and the Irish playing their first ever non-conference game since they're in the ACC for the first time. Yeah. It's Notre Dame and South Florida Saturday at 2:30 right here on WSBT Radio. Sean Steyers, Darren Pritchett with you. We're joined by Joey Knight from the Tampa Bay Times. He covers the Bulls for that publication. Joey, it's Darren. Great to catch up with you. We greatly appreciate your time. I know you've been busy with the South Bend media this week, so thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Great to just talk about college football, any matchup.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And Joey, as you take a look at this Bulls program, I mentioned a new era. Jeff Scott comes from Clemson to take over this Bulls program, looking to add a lot of offense to an offense that struggled last year. As you go into this game, you're a 26-point underdog. I read your piece in the Tampa Bay Times. You've got a good feel on this. What do you feel like Jeff Scott's message is to his football team coming to South Bend, being a big underdog?
I think his message is, guys, we have nothing to lose. Let's go out, not play with reckless abandon. I don't think that would be the right term, but let's just go out and play loose and have fun and see where we stack up against the number 7 team in the country. Bulls fans who have been used to the last few years, been accustomed to seeing a team that lacks a little bit of discipline, a little bit of focus, they were encouraged by what they saw in the season opener against the Citadel last Saturday on a wet night. Steady rain, USF committed no turnovers, had only 5 penalties. This is a team that's been highly penalized, one of the most penalized teams in the country the last couple of years. So if they can go up to South Bend and replicate that kind of efficiency, that kind of ball protection, and, you know, just play loose and have fun and do the best you can, I think that'll be Jeff Scott's message. Let's go up there and play smart. Play as good as we can, but play loose, because, as he said, as he told us media people, they're playing with house money. They have nothing to lose. There's no pressure on them whatsoever. All the pressure is on the other sideline.
Scott, of course, comes to USF from Clemson, where he was the offensive coordinator, Joey. So what are your impressions of him so far? Any kind of, you know, maybe early stamp that he's put on the program so far?
I see a guy who's just incredibly organized, and certainly to be a coach at this level in 2020, you have to be, you know, that's a prerequisite. You have to be meticulously organized. I think Jeff Scott takes it to another level, and something that I learned about Dabo Swinney, his mentor, when I first talked to Jeff, he told me Dabo Swinney could be the CEO of Coca-Cola because he is that organized, and it's something that I just didn't know. And when we were sitting at his desk that first day, he had this huge, thick black binder. It looked about to be as thick, you know, as a Detroit phone book from the old days. And he said, this was Clemson's all-in manual. That's what they called it. And it had every detail about the program. He said, there's very little X's and O's in here. It's just how we do things. It has all our off-season schedules, our protocols for when recruits come on campus to visit, how our strength and conditioning program is broken down, our philosophies are detailed. This is how we do things. And obviously he's doing a similar kind of binder for Clemson. So I just see a guy who's very detailed. And another thing, he's very engaging. Something that his predecessor, Charlie Strong, did not do was go out and really engage the community. And this is a program that's trying to raise dollars. They're about halfway towards raising the money necessary for a $40 million football-exclusive facility on campus, which would include an indoor practice area. They need someone who will go out and raise money and engage the community. And Jeff Scott has been all over that since he arrived. So it may take a little time on the field for them to get to where they want to go, but you know, I personally, I think he was an ideal hire for USF.
Joey Knight from the Tampa Bay Times talking about the South Florida Bulls here on WSBT Radio. Well, many moons ago, Joey, Charlie Weiss Jr. was roaming the Notre Dame sideline when his dad was the head coach. He will hold up cards for Notre Dame players on the field, helping to get the play call in. Now fast forward, first-year offensive coordinator at South Florida after a good run at Florida Atlantic. What type of reputation does Charlie Jr. have right now as an offensive play caller?
Kind of like you would expect, you know, kind of a child prodigy. Child's a relative term, but he is only 27 years old, and USF fans saw the job he did the last couple of years at Florida Atlantic, you know, especially last year. That team won a lot of games, defeated a really good SMU team in the bowl game, so they were excited about the arrival of Charlie Weiss Jr. to USF, and, you know, I think, quite honestly, he didn't brandish a lot of his playbook against the Citadel, you know, an FCS opponent in that season opener, and for good reason. Plus the fact that it was, you know, a wet field on a wet night. They kept things mainly on the ground. So I think USF fans are excited to see that playbook open up a little more this weekend in South Bend. And, of course, it's a great story. We all know that. Charlie Weiss Jr. going back home, so to speak, where his dad had some, you know, ebb and flow, if you want to describe his career that way. And, you know, Charlie stood on the sidelines and, like you said, held up signed cards for his dad and things like that. And it's a neat story that he's going back to coach there. But, you know, quite honestly, you know, I've spoken to him. We had a good 10-15 minute conversation yesterday. It's a business trip. He'll arrive, you know, late Friday afternoon, early Friday evening, go coach a ball game from the press box. You know, if tradition holds, he worked the box last week. I think he'll be in the box this week, and then they'll fly out. So this is a 24-hour business trip for him. But, you know, he understands the storyline and how special it's going to be. And when he hears Wake Up the Echoes, you know, he said he may get a little sentimental, but he's there for a reason, and that's to do a job on Saturday.
They had three guys play quarterback against the Citadel last week. They all threw at least four passes in that game. Do you expect multiple quarterbacks again this week against Notre Dame?
I expect at least two. They had a three-player quarterback derby in the preseason. One of those guys, Cade Fortin, who has a really good arm, who's from a transfer from North Carolina, was made unavailable. He was one of 12 guys unavailable for that game. Now, Jeff Scott's not going to specify the reason, and we're not sure what his status is for this week. So that leaves two members of that three-player quarterback derby, the incumbent from last season, Jordan McLeod, who's a third-year sophomore, and a transfer from Alcorn State named Noah Johnson, who just put up staggering numbers 2 years ago at Alcorn State, was that conference's offensive player of the year. Those two guys combined for 92 passing yards. Obviously, USF, you know, they just can't run it down Notre Dame's throat. They're going to have to do something with the passing game. Question is, will they be able to? They're facing a very, very deep, talented Notre Dame defensive front. Jeff Scott said he counted 11 different defensive linemen that got in the game for Notre Dame against Duke. And USF, three other guys who were unavailable were starting offensive linemen. Their three most experienced offensive linemen. We don't know if they're going to be available this week. So you've got a potential mismatch in the trenches. And, you know, I just don't know how much protection those quarterbacks are going to get and just how effective their passing game is going to be as a result. But the good thing about the two quarterbacks I expect to see, McLeod and Johnson, is they can create things outside the pocket. When something breaks down, they're fast enough and athletic enough to improvise. So they may have to improvise a lot Saturday, quite frankly.
So, Joey, with that being said, do you feel like the success of the South Florida running game is crucial for this being a competitive football game at Notre Dame Stadium?
Well, it probably is, you know, just because, again, that matchup on the line of scrimmage is going to be critical, and I think it favors Notre Dame heavily. I think you're going to see Jeff Scott and Weiss Jr. have to do a lot of creative things in the run game, creative meaning jet sweeps, just dumping the ball out to their tailbacks in space, and all those guys are small and shifty and fast and capable of catching the ball out of the backfield. I think you'll see a lot of that. I think they'll try to try to pop out, maybe run some flex with their tight end, Mitchell Brinkman, who's a transfer from Northern Illinois, talented guy. They're going to have to get creative with what they do running the ball because they don't have a bell cow like, you know, a Jonathan Taylor or Kyren Williams like you guys have up there. They don't have that, you know, 225-pound bell cow guy they can give the ball to 25 times a game. Their tailbacks are smaller, fast, shifty guys who can catch the ball out of the backfield. So I just think you're going to see it tailback by committee, and the coaches is having to get creative just to get those guys open and get those guys in space.
It sounds like they've got a pretty solid secondary. They didn't necessarily have to cover anyone last week because they were playing an option offense. But would you call that? Would you call that the strength of their defense?
Yes, no question. Their two cornerbacks are seniors, KJ Sales and Mike Hampton. They both happen to be from the Tampa Bay area. I don't know if either gets drafted, but I think both of them will get a solid look from the NFL. And the way the new coordinator, Glenn Spencer, runs his what he calls a 30-float system, which is a lot of movement in the back end, those guys have to play on an island an awful lot. And fortunately for USF, again, they're talented guys, they're veterans, they're both seniors. And, you know, generally on most weeks, I think they'll be up to the task. It'll be really interesting to see if they're up to the task against probably the best team, you know, they're going to play this season on Saturday. But, yeah, that's the strength. They've got some veterans, you know, even further on the back end. Their safeties, a guy named Bentley Sanders, a guy named Nick Roberts, a guy named Mekhi LaPointe. All those guys have played a lot of football. And kind of the wild card of that defense is their star, the guy they call their star or their nickelback, a guy named Vincent Davis, who's just really capable of coming up and in run stoppage and in coverage. He's only about 180 pounds, but he can hit, and he can be a disruptive force just in that star position. They call him Smoke, Vincent Smoke Davis. So, yeah, you're correct. The secondary is definitely the strength of that defense, but, again, they're facing probably one of the biggest challenges, if not the biggest challenge, they'll face all season this Saturday.
Tampa Bay Times, Joey Knight joining us on WSBT Radio. So playing the Citadel, option style attack, what do you need to learn about the South Florida defense against, I guess, what we would call a more traditional college offense?
Yeah, again, it's the line of scrimmage. Just from what I saw on the participation sheet, because I wasn't tracking it too carefully during the game, they didn't rotate a lot of guys on the defensive front. Now, that the guys they did have played very effectively. After a while, they kind of shut down the Citadel dive play, which is the staple of the triple option. They started making the Citadel kind of play from side to side, sideline to sideline. And, you know, by that time, USF had the game pretty much in hand. But now, you know, I expect Notre Dame will try to run a lot of power, you know, for Williams and just to maximize their size advantage and their experience advantage up front. So, if I'm a USF fan going into this game, I'm just very concerned about both sides of the line of scrimmage and, you know, the potential mismatch it could be.
You know, you mentioned the players that were out last week. Was it 12 total players who were out for USF last week?
Yeah, 12 total. And Jeff Scott, you know, he was up front with us about it. He said, I'm going to give you the list of unavailables each week before the game. They could be COVID-related. They could be other injury-related. They could be suspension-related. He said, I'm not going to detail that. But, you know, there's some student privacy issues at play here in the COVID era. But he said, I'm just going to give you the unavailables before the game. And we got that list about 10 or 15 minutes before kickoff. And I anticipate getting that list again shortly before kickoff this week. We just don't know the status of any of those guys. But the three most prominent names, obviously, are Donovan Jennings, Demetrius Harris, and Brad Cecil, who were the three most experienced guys on the offensive line. Jennings, I think, you know, has a chance to play in the NFL. So their status, you know, could be very significant this weekend going into South Bend.
Joey, my final question for you just centers around what you believe is the ceiling of this South Florida program, considering just a handful of years ago, back-to-back top 25 AP finishes for the Bulls. Then things went downhill. They bring in a new coaching staff. So what should be the realistic expectations for Bulls fans in the Tampa area for this program?
Expecting a conference title by, you know, year three, I would say, of the Jeff Scott era. If not, maybe year two. That may be a little bit ambitious. You know, Jeff inherited, you know, not the greatest roster, you know, in the American Athletic Conference. The Bulls kind of struggled a little bit in recruiting the last couple of years of the Charlie Strong era. So there's some work to do there, and they are doing work. And, you know, the sooner they can get the money needed to build these on-campus facilities, we all know in the college arms race these days, that's so important to kids, just, you know, what the facilities look like. If they can get, you know, shovels in the ground for that, and if Jeff Scott can recruit the way people believe he can recruit, you know, I believe this program, you know, it's the quintessential sleeping giant. Under Jim Leavitt, a generation ago, 2007, this program got to number two in the BCS in 1 week. People don't remember that. But it's in the perfect place, you know, in terms of recruiting base and recruiting landscape. It's right here, the Tampa Bay area. You know, they play in a good quality Group of Five conference. This, you know, great TV market, obviously a great area near the beach. This program can flourish. They just need the right person to stay put here. And I believe Jeff Scott will stay here long enough to just develop his roster and give USF a chance to compete for conference title. They've never won a conference title in their 24-season history.
Well, it's been since 2011 since these teams played, and we know there's going to be two more games in this series following the matchup this Saturday, so we look forward to more conversations about the South Florida Bulls. And, Joey, we greatly appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much for taking the time to tell us about this Bulls program, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the line.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Grot. Guys, have a great night.
You too. Thanks, you that too. Is Joey Knight, covers the South Florida Bulls for the Tampa Bay Times. He joins us on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT and streaming live on the SportsBeat app.